right, y'all. Get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. This is one of your hosts, Mr. David Coker, hanging out with my partner, Mr. Leonard Young. I'm proprietor of Dave Mark Inc., Man About Town. I'm trying to think of all the superlative and adjectives I can say about myself.
Singer.
And extra verbs in there as well. But I'm here. I'm here, you know, and, you know, as long as I'm here, you know, you guys got great entertainment. Now, I am hanging out with my partner, Mr. Leonard Young. He's a little under the weather today. He's tried to use that as an excuse not to do the show tonight, folks. I'm just letting you know. But anyway, he's here. He's hanging out with us. He's trying to be a trooper. So go ahead, Leonard.
this is Leonard Young, CEO of National Black Guy, DelawareBlack.com, Black Media Specialist. I'm losing my voice, and Dave still wouldn't give me the day off. He's a slave driver.
Yeah, you know, y'all know if I give him the day off, you know, you might not hear our show for a couple weeks. So, you know, that's why I said, nah, man, you got to push through. You got to push through. But he's being a trooper. He's hanging in. He's hanging in. So he will try to add something to the show tonight. Try. Okay. All right. So what's going on, man? Last week we were in 60, 70 degree weather. Now we're back to, like, you know, the cool weather now, you know?
Yes, there's a starting to get cold again.
Yeah. Well, you know, today is officially the first day of spring. Well, 11 p.m., they said, is when spring actually starts. So I don't know how that happened. It used to be. I don't remember ever starting at night like that before, but, you know, but they said 11 p.m. is when spring actually officially starts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always thought the first day of spring was on the 21st.
I know, but that's what they said, 11 p.m. Yep. So I guess we'll find out what the deal is as the next couple of days. Hopefully the weather will get back to being warm again. It's supposed to get that way towards next week, I think. So we'll see. But, you know, here we are. Made it through the weekend. You had a good weekend, sir?
Yeah, no complaints. Just working at the campground. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Screaming at people and everything. That's how he lost his voice. You know, he's up there making sure them people do their, you know, do their work and everything, you know. You know, that's what he does. He walks around with the whip in his hand, you know, type of thing.
Well, Dave, when you coming down?
Not to be beaten.
Yeah, we got to put you to work.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, I know. I'll come down there and do some managing for you. That's what I'll do, so.
Okay, when? Give us the date.
I'll let you know. It's coming soon, man. Don't worry, it's soon, soon. Like the song said, soon and very soon, you know, so we'll see. But anyway, I'm not going to keep my partner on too long tonight since he's under the weather. So we're going to go ahead and get right into these stories. We got a couple of good stories for you tonight. And, you know, we're going to see what you guys think of these stories. Did get some feedback on last week's show. A couple people had comments about last week's show. So we always like to see when you have your comments and personal thoughts. So hopefully we'll get some about tonight's show. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get into this first story. I thought this first story was interesting. It's funny how far you got to go to see certain things, but thought this was cool. It's, about this Irish gas station dedicated to Barack Obama gains viral attention. So there's this gas station. It says the M7 highway in Ireland. both a Barack Obama themed gas station called the Barack Obama Plaza. It features bronze statues of the former president and first lady, Michelle Obama, and offers souvenir coins, magnets, mugs, and cardboard cutouts of Obama. The gas station opened in 2014 as a tribute to Obama's visit to the nearby town of Moneygall, where his great-great-great-grandfather was born. The service station presence was widely uncovered thanks to Emily Howard, whose TikTok post has since gone viral. There was a clip of her post that showed the gas station. It's on TikTok. If anybody saw it, you know what it looks like. Howard said that, "I thought visiting the Barack Obama Plaza would be a hilarious surprise for my fiance, and it was made better that he fell asleep in the passenger seat. And when he woke up, he was greeted by the statues of the Obamas in front of the plaza. Barack Obama Plaza also boasts on an air pump in honor of Conan O'Brien." You know who Conan O'Brien is, man? Okay, just making sure. It says that O'Brien called the pump a big honor and said the gas station is the greatest tribute to any American president. Excuse me. I was holding on to that. Anyway, in the comments of the TikTok clip, one user wrote, "We accidentally stopped here when we were there, and we were so confused, but it is truly amazing." Another person added, "My dad's weirdest obsession is the Barack Obama Travel Plaza." A third commented, "Always wanted to go to Ireland. No need to make it more appealing than it already is. Now that they have the gas station, I'll be going even more." It says the station owner reportedly spent $4,000 to change the name to honor the 44th president. $4,000, I guess that's not a lot of money, I guess,
right,
you know.
Right.
You know, but that's interesting. In Ireland, you would find something like that. You imagine going to a gas station and you seeing that somewhere in another part of the world?
Not at all.
And the fact that his great-great-great-grandfather comes from that area, that's interesting. So he has a mixture of a lot of different things in him, I guess. Because I know, I didn't hear the Irish thing before. That's the first time I ever heard that.
Right. Yeah, no, I have heard the Ethiopian, the white.
Yeah.
You know, of course, he lived in Hawaii for a little bit, or born in Hawaii.
Right. I never heard the Irish thing. But that is definitely down the line a little bit, I guess. So, you know, we all probably got Irish. You never know. So, but I just thought that was interesting when I saw the story. You know, to think that, you know, and especially since he was the only African American president that has an honor like that in a country, you know, like Ireland. You know, that's a whole, you know, who you would think. You know, you would think Africa first. You know, you would think Ireland first, you know. So, but that's pretty cool to have something like that. I wonder, well, it didn't say anything about whether they have actually gone over. The Obamas have seen it since it's been named after them. But I'm sure that they plan on going over there to check it out. So, but I just thought it was a pretty cool story to honor our 44th president and his wife. Okay. All right. That's Leonard commenting in the background, people. So, okay.
Dave,
so,
I'm trying to save my voice for saying, yes, I agree.
Okay.
No.
He said, yes, I agree. Okay. All right. Moving on to our next story. But congratulations to the Obamas for that honor. So, our next story.
Yep. So, Dave, our next story is about a black pilot out of Long Beach, California. And he was actually the very first black helicopter pilot for the Long Beach Police Department. And he recently was awarded $500,000 settlement because of racism that he endured. So, he says that over the course of about 20 years or 20 to 30 years, he endured being called the N-word, people referring to his neighborhood as what is N-wordville. He had banana peels placed on his car, and he had a boss who had a black face. I think he said a black face sketch of Dragon Ball Z displayed in his office for years. Of course, he was recently awarded $500,000 from the city of Long Beach. And of course, currently they're saying that the city and, the city believes that they are committed to safe, inclusive, and anti-discriminatory workplace and a community for all. So, obviously we know that was not the case because of what he endured. When he joined Long Beach Police Department in 1989, he was the first and only black helicopter pilot. He retired in 2019, so it appears that after he retired, he brought this lawsuit first before the statutes of limitations were completed. So, I almost feel like that was a smart move because, he stayed there as long as he had to. And then when he retired, he brought that lawsuit forth.
Why does this sound familiar? Did we talk about this guy before?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. The story sounds very familiar. Well, actually, it's good that they did manage to see that there definitely was a problem,
Right.
and that they, and of course, putting money on, on a wound like a Band-Aid would be put on a wound. It's a good thing, but of course it depends on how deep that wound is as to whether that's going to make that much of a difference. Because even with the money, he still had to endure all the stuff. You know what I
Right.
mean? And that stuff will never be forgotten, and it won't go away. So, but it's really a shame that he had to do all it. He had to endure all of that, and we still don't know, because we still don't know if he's still having any issues or not. I mean,
Right.
and especially with that money being awarded, because he might have made some new enemies now.
Yeah, definitely. Wait, Dave, what you said, the whole Long Beach Police Department?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so. I would take that money and move. I would leave, but of course you're dealing with cops. They'll find you if they needed to.
Right.
So that's the only thing. So, but that's really that's good that they did see there was an error in what was going on there, and that they did award him the money. Did they ever say what happened to the people that were causing the problem?
No, they said that even though the city of Long Beach gave him the $500,000, the city was not required to admit any wrongdoing as part of their settlement.
Oh, so they protected those people.
Yeah,
That's what they
basically.
did. Well, I guess so. That was basically okay. Here, take this money, shut up.
Right, basically.
All right. Well, I mean, at least they gave him something. But I know If it was me, I wouldn't feel comfortable staying there though.
I know. Yeah. Move out.
I had to, I had to do something completely different. I might be living on the East Coast, after that, yeah. So, or go move to Ireland so I could go see the Barack Obama gas station over there. So that's what I would do. So, but well, I guess we'll see if anything more comes of that, because that's interesting. Because, like I said, we all know the old axiom and the song,
Right.
more money, more problems,
Yep.
So, yeah, so, okay. All right. All right. We're going to move on to our next story. Black Twin Sisters by Woodland Plantation, site of the largest U.S. uprising of enslaved people. Joe Banner and Joy Banner, founders of the Descendants Project, acquired Woodland Plantation in LaPlace, Louisiana, with an unwavering commitment to preserving its historical legacy. I've heard of, have you ever heard of Woodland Plantation, by the way?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I've heard of it. It's a very famous plantation. It was like one of the bigger ones in Louisiana. And a lot of slaves came through there. I think there was a, and there was a big uprising. But this is some of the backdrop. It says, growing up in Louisiana on the west bank of Mississippi River, Joe Banner and her sister, Joy, learned about the 1811, the year was 1811, revolt by enslaved people from their grandmother. The matriarch said that the heads of those who rebelled and fought for freedom were cut off and put on stakes along the Mississippi River. The story, Banner said, had been passed down in her family from generations to generation through oral tradition. But it's not just folklore. Reports of heads severed and spiked to serve as warning to anyone who dreamt of liberation from oppression are recorded in the articles in the Smithsonian Magazine, The Guardian, The Times-Picayune, and a piece written by Louisiana historian Leon Waters for the Zen Education Project. The 1811 revolt began at the Woodland Plantation in LaPlace, Louisiana. Charles Deslandes and about 25 other enslaved people attacked Manuel Andrie and his son, killing the son. As they marched towards New Orleans, enslaved people from other plantations joined them, with a crowd of rebels growing to more than 500 people. The group was stopped by the military and captured. Some were put on trial and executed. They were freedom fighters, Joe Banner said of the 1811 revolt participants. They were trying to save their lives and the lives of their families. I know I've heard a little bit about this before. I just didn't know how deep it was. And of course, something else is not taught to us in history books and stuff like that, but you would think this would be something that we should all know about, It says that now the Banner sisters are working to save their history as the new owners of that plantation that was home to the, what has been described as the largest uprising of enslaved people in American history. Apparently, they had contact. They in 2023. Sheehan, who was the owner then, the Banners had contacted the Banners and told them that he planned to put the property up for sale. And they asked if they were interested in purchasing it. According to the records in the St. John the Baptist Parish Clerk of Court office, The sisters bought the plantation for $750,000 in January.
Wow.
That's not a bad price.
No, it's not. I
Yeah.
must say, especially being a part of history like it is.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure if they do the right things, they could make a, you know, make it a museum, you know, a landmark there, you know, have res people come through, you know, and visit the site. I mean, the potential is great with a place like that, especially with having the name that it does. So, now, and New Orleans being New Orleans, I mean, I'm sure that they would get the foot traffic, you know, being down there. So, but I just thought it was interesting that, you know, you got that type of history, and then you have two black females that were able to purchase that land, and as I guess, you know, if you look at it, it's kind of honoring the, you know, what those people went through, those freedom fighters went through to become free people. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, you know, I definitely agree. You know, I think we need to buy back as much of our history as possible because, you know, like when we think about CRT, you
Yeah.
know, can you imagine, let's say, non-black people buying this and just like stopping that history right there?
Right.
You know,
Right.
so.
Yeah. And the fact that they had the opportunity to be able to purchase that, because we know, I mean, $750,000, and I know that's got to be a big property. They didn't say what the dimensions of the property was, but I'm sure it's huge because most of them plantations were big. You know. That's a, that's a good look, because, a lot of times, I mean, right now, the houses are going anywhere from half a million to $1 million in most neighborhoods these days. So that's pretty good. So, but kudos to the Banner sisters, and hopefully they're able to make that into something that would be always looked at as a tribute to what those people went through, back then. I thought that was a pretty cool story. Matter of fact, I thought about reaching out to them just to hear what they had to say about that. So I might do that.
Yeah,
So,
do that.
yeah. So, all right. Moving on to our next story. So, this is we're in March, so in a couple months, we will be gearing up for the Olympics. I'm a big Olympic person. I know Leonard, you are too, right?
I am.
And Leonard is, of course, a triathlete. He's getting ready to compete in the Olympics. Not this one, but the next one, though.
Well,
so,
hey, Dave,
yeah.
my body's not holding up for too much longer. So,
Okay.
if it's
Yeah.
not this one, then maybe now or never.
It may be now, never. Okay. But it's funny because I've always been fascinated with the Olympics since I can remember, as
Yeah,
even
me
as a
too.
kid. Yeah. And because I just remember seeing, looking at all these athletes competing against each other, and you got the top athletes in the world coming to this thing. I saw yesterday, did you see the report that they were giving out like 9,000? Well, there's 9,000 athletes. They're giving out over 300,000 condoms because they have relaxed.
Oh no, I did not know that.
They have relaxed the no cohabitating rules. So, so they build stronger beds for the athletes'
Oh
village.
my goodness.
Yeah, because everybody was talking about how flimsy the beds were before. So. But anyway, but this is
Well,
one of
would they, you know, like even when I think about it, can you imagine being an Olympic athlete and your event was on the first day of the Olympics, and then you have the rest of the time free.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You'd probably be walking around, hanging out,
Yeah, partying, everything.
all kinds of trouble, man. So, but that's it. Especially if you go to something like that, because I know you imagine, because just think in Atlanta, when they were down in Atlanta or in
Oh,
LA,
yeah.
because the next one's in LA, right?
I'm
Aren't
not
they
sure. Is
back in the
that
States?
2028?
Are they back in the States again, the next one? I think they
I'm
are.
not sure.
Okay. For some reason, I think they're back here in the United States. So, but anyway, I was looking at an article earlier, and it was talking about, for those people that are big Olympic people, what are the three things that you look forward to seeing? Your top three things that you look forward to seeing during the Olympics. I think I already know two of yours already, so.
All right, well, Dave, I'm gonna ask you to guess mine.
Well, swimming.
Yep.
Okay, I know you watch the swimming. And of course, I know you watch track and field.
I do.
Yeah. So, but what would be the other one?
I'm gonna let you guess.
Okay. Let me see. So we got swimming, we got track and field. I'm gonna say, oh, I know it's not basketball.
No.
No, I know. I already know that, even though that would be obvious. I'm gonna say boxing.
Nope.
Oh, wait. Oh, no, that's Winter Olympics, so I know it's not that. Weightlifting?
Nope.
What am I missing? Swimming, track and field.
So, news and trends fans, somebody doesn't know their sports like they think they do.
Wait, hold on. Wait, hold on. You got the track and field, you got swimming. What, you gonna watch soccer? All right, tell me, what's your other sport?
Hey, I'm gonna be watching the triathlon. See who wins the gold in the
That's
Olympic triathlon.
part of track and field, Leonard.
No, it's not.
It is so part of track
No,
and field.
it's not.
That is not held outside of the track and field events.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God. See, I knew he was gonna throw a caveat
They
in.
okay. So is well, why did you say that track and field and saying instead of saying that swimming? Why didn't you say that swimmer?
But the triathlon,
Triathlon, yeah.
that's swimming, because it's mostly, because most of the events you're going to do are mostly considered to be part of track and field.
No, because if you say most swimming and cycling, neither of those are considered track and field. So, but listen, Dave backpedaling now. Dave doesn't know his sports like it.
But that's a field event, though.
No, it's not. It's not. Totally different.
Anyway, okay, all right. He's just being. He just being.
No. The
Okay.
so you know what
So you're
US
not a
th
decathlon. So you like the triathlon more than the decathlon, right?
But the decathlon part of track and field. Triathlon is not.
Okay. So for those that are not familiar with the triathlon, why don't you tell them what the triathlon consists of?
Okay, Dave. So for the Olympics, the triathlon consists of 1500 meters open water swimming. Then it consists of a 24-mile bike ride, and it finishes with a 10-kilometer run, which is about 6.2 miles, back to back to back.
Right.
No break.
True. So most people would consider the running and the cycling part, part of field events. Now, the swimming, of
No,
course, isn't.
Well, they nothing about triathlon takes place in the stadium.
Yeah, I know it's all outside. I mean, I know it's on. Yeah, but I mean, okay, all right. He tried
No,
to.
no,
He
they,
tried
no, no,
to.
they, there's two different, there's three different federations. They're the U.S. Swimming Federation that's head of all, U.S. swimming. They're USA Track and Field, which is USATF. That's the Track and Field Federation.
And that's the
And there's
running
you,
part. That's the running part, right?
no. And then there's USAT, which is United States Triathlon. Totally different. So Dave, you know what? Just
Here we go.
say thank you for educating you.
Okay.
Just say thank you. Just say thank you. It's easy.
Thank you for finding the
You're
only
welcome for educating
loophole,
you. Yes.
the only loophole to what. But anyway, I knew what your first two things were going to be, which was going to be the track and field, and of course the what's it called? The swimming, because Leonard's a former swimmer. For those of you that don't know,
Right.
well, he still swims, but you swim competitively for a while, and then and swimming is pretty exciting. I mean, it's going to be interesting this year because they're going to have a lot of new faces this year, right?
Well, Dave, you want to tell one of the funny things about swimming, when the Olympics comes, there's some sports that kind of flip-flop. So it's like, basketball is not a popular Olympic sport. Not like it is like the NBA.
Right.
And
Yeah, it's not because we're expected to win most of the time, and
right.
the only time
But
it's really popular is when we get beat.
right. Now, but like let's take swimming. Swimming ordinarily is not a popularly watched sport in, the United States. But come the Olympics, swimming is like one of the top five most watched sports.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So,
And they keep it pretty compelling. We've been fortunate enough to have been very competitive in swimming always. So, we've had some people to really dominate. Oh, are they gonna let your girls swim this year?
cool.
Yeah. No. The
Simone,
huh?
the black girl.
No. Let me finish.
Okay.
The one
Oh,
who,
Leah Thomas.
yeah, there you go.
So,
Did they rule against her swimming?
I'm not sure, but Olympic trials are in June. So if she goes to Olympic trials, but I'm not sure if it's swimming or not. But there's two other international transgender athletes who are competing as women that might shake some things up if they're allowed. 'Cause you can already imagine some nations complaining.
Right,
So
right.
we'll have to see. But Olympic trials are in June. I don't know whether she will show up for that or not, and how she will place, but I mean, we have to wait and see.
Right. Yeah, for those who didn't catch what we were talking about, there's a young lady who finished her college career that was last year, right? She finished? Yeah, okay. Finished her college career, but she's a transgender swimmer who was born male, became female, and has been, racing as a woman, and has done very well for herself, in these races. And she did show the desire to want to compete in the Olympics. Now, of course, I know there was supposed to be, some type of ruling involved in whether they were going to let transgendered athletes compete. And so I guess we'll find that out sooner or later, I guess, because, the Olympics will be here in a few months. So, and of course, that can open the door up for a lot of different athletes. to compete as,
Right.
you know,
And
so.
I think it sets a precedent too. You know, it's kind of like, okay, once they open it, then I mean, once they open that door, it's hard to close.
Yeah, that's true. It is true. I know myself in my three favorite things. Of course, you and I always talk about track and field. I'm looking really forward to track and field this time around because I want to see what Sha'Carri Richardson does if she, you know, she missed the Olympic team the last
Right.
time. But she's a different person this time around, and she's grown a lot, and she's been very dominant in racing this year. And matter of fact, she was named, what is she named, female
Yeah.
racer, and I think she was named overall female athlete of the year as well.
Right.
So she's really gotten her head on straight. She's even kind of patched things up with the Jamaicans, you know. And I think this is going to be, speaking of the Jamaicans, what you call him, the
What,
sprinter.
Kelly Fraser Price?
I think this is supposed to be her last Olympics. I think she's going to stop running after this year, but I'm sure the Jamaicans are going to come out and they're going to try to show off this time around, you know, in the Olympics, because
Right.
the American women have been doing their thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they've beaten the Jamaicans a couple times in the championship, the world championships, and so it's going to be really interesting when the Olympic trials come around and everything to see who goes to the Olympics and so forth. But I'm a big track and field person. I like to watch the swimming too. I actually like watching gymnastics too.
Yeah.
And especially, it's going to be some intrigue this year with Simone Biles coming back
Right.
and Gabby Douglas if she makes it. But man, there's a slew of black young females out
Yeah.
there. There's a lot of them out there, and they're all doing pretty well. So, and they're saying, you know, that's all because of Simone Biles, you know, because they wanted to compete and so forth. So that's really cool. I watch some of the college competitions from time to time, and man, these girls are out there killing it right now, man. So a lot of these white programs that have been notoriously white for years have a lot of sisters on them now, you know. So it's going to be interesting. You know, the basketball is kind of anticlimactic for me because you kind of, you know, either they're going to. Well, you expect them to win, but it all depends on who goes over there. And you know, I rather watch the women's basketball than the men's, to be honest with you. So, but the you know, I like watching the marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that always is intriguing too. Because man, I don't see how they run like that all that time, man. That's a long. What's it like 26 miles or something like that, right?
26.2.
Yeah, that's a lot of running, man. So,
Well, they, if you think the marathon's a lot of running, have you heard of the Iron Man? So the Iron Man is a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike ride, and then a marathon at the end of that.
Wow.
That's crazy.
How do people do that,
I
man?
know.
I mean, how do you train for that?
don't know. You know, every day, all day, you gotta be dedicated.
Well, when you look at track and field and you look at the bodies of some of the runners, like you can almost pick it out, and this is, you know, when you think about what you just said about, you know, how the Ironman competition goes and whatever. You in track and field, you can tell who the long distance runners are. You can tell who the sprinters are. You can tell
who are the mid-distance people just by how they're built, you know, because you know the long distance runners are usually thinner. They got, you know, they're kind of lean, and you know when you look at the sprinters are more muscle built, you
Right.
know, even though some of them are slim,
Yeah,
some of them are slim,
like
but
no,
they're
no.
welding fine though.
Yeah,
They're welding.
I'm about to say Noah Lyles. I mean, he's like a slim build, but
Yeah, he's slim, but he's put together. Yeah,
yeah.
you know. You know, so you can kind of tell who's going to be long distance and all that kind of stuff. And it's always interesting because those guys who the real muscular ones, you know, like back in the day, it was a lot of muscular guys. If you notice, like especially the male sprinters and so forth, but you notice how lean a lot of them are now.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so could that's because they have a, you know, they didn't change up the philosophy about how they run now, you know, and so, but the Olympics is just a really good time to watch real athletes, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, I always get excited when the Olympics come around to be able to watch. I mean, folks, it's been a few times during the Olympics. I know last Olympics or whatever, I was calling it. I say, did you see that race? Did you see that? You know. And of course, when Americans are on the field, you know, we're always, especially the relays, because
Yeah.
them relays, man, they be going at it on them relays, man. So, you guys, when you think about it, tell us what your favorite sports and what you're looking forward to as far as the Olympics are concerned. You know, we just want, you know, I just wanted to put it out there because to see what you guys feel about, you know, what you're looking forward to and so forth. I'm trying to remember. I think, like I said, I think in 4 years it's supposed to be here, if I'm not mistaken, because it seemed like somebody was telling me they were planning to go. I think it is back in California again. Or is it down south? You got
Come
the
on, I'm about to
computer
take a
up?
look.
Yeah. Because somebody said that was going to be a hot ticket.
All right, let me see. We got the host
That would
city.
be what year is that? That would be we're in what?
2028.
Yeah.
All right, so damn. Yep, 2028 is Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, Los Angeles. Okay. Yeah, man, that you know that's gonna be
Oh
one big
yeah.
party
Oh yeah.
over there. Would you try to go something like that? Go
Oh,
out there?
I will try to go when it's in LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Did you hear that, folks? Learned said they will try to go when it's in
Yes.
L.A. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
All right.
when they, I mean that's only if you answer my phone call, 'cause you know, like when it's time to go places, you know, you be home chilling.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. So that would be cool, man. I mean, of course, that now that's a trip. I know you have to book real early to be able to
Oh
get out
yeah,
there.
oh yeah. And in fact, Dave, those hotels are probably already sky high.
You imagine 4 years. Look, people booking for 4 years from
Yeah, I'm
now.
sure.
So, all right. Okay. Well, we'll see. Hear that, folks? News and trends. We'll be doing the show from the Olympics in 4 years. Okay. So, all right. Okay. That brings us to Dave's Corner, Leonard's favorite part of the show. I figured I'd keep it simple for him and make it easy for him this time because he says I've been getting him hard questions lately. So I figured I'll make it easy for him. So in honor of National Women's Month, which the whole month of March is, do we get a National Men's Month?
Of course not. Dave, our National Men's Month is on the 29th of February.
Of February,
Right.
every look every year.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, but anyway, so made me think about this. Think about three prominent women from
your past or even from the present. Three prominent women from history, or, you know, that are prominent right now. Who would be the three women that you see as most inspirational to you?
To me?
Yeah. Now, and we're not talking about relatives or anything.
Right, well, right, right.
I don't know. You might have a relative that might be famous. I don't know.
To me, it's a hard one.
Yeah. You say that about every question.
I know. All right. I would say, and it may be a little cliche, but I'll say Michelle Obama.
Of course, I knew that was going to be that. Right. That was one of them little easy throwouts out there. But yeah, of course, Michelle Obama. Okay,
I'll say Harriet Tubman.
Okay, all right,
and last one may be a little hard. So I'll say at one point, Deborah Lee.
Oh, Deborah Lee.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And the reason why I say her and is a little bit different is because when I heard the story of how she started Radio One, and yeah, she was sleeping on her floor trying to get it up and started, that was when I was younger with DelawareBlack.com, and you know, Dave, the struggle was real. So you know, just kind of doing what you have to do to, I think I only slept on the floor one time, but you know, the struggle was still the struggle.
Okay.
Yeah, what about you?
Well, and for those who didn't catch actually everything you said, Deborah Lee is the person that started Radio One and TV One, and she was like right behind Oprah for most women, you know. So, you know. Okay. In reference to my picks, of course, that was one of them right there, Miss Oprah Winfrey. You know, even though you know, her reputation has kind of taken a little hit lately with some things, you know, the Ozempic and the, of course, The Color Purple, but you know, there's no mistaking. Oprah is definitely the benchmark when it comes to media and TV and all, you know, you know, journalism, all of that stuff, you know. So definitely Oprah Winfrey. I'm also going to throw out there, well, I was going to say Michelle Obama, but of course I knew you would say it first. That was, you know, but of course, you know, Michelle Obama would be on my list as well. But I'm also going to say Cicely Tyson. Why Cicely Tyson? Seemed like when I was younger and growing up, seemed like every movie that had some type of pure, deep meaning to it, she was the star of. And she just seemed so gracious as a person. When they did interviews with her, just listening to her talk, she was the most humble person. And keep in mind, as great of an actress as she was, she didn't make a lot of money during her career. I think she made her first $1 million in one of Tyler Perry's movies.
Yeah.
So, after all the great roles that she had done prior to that. So, but I really was a big fan of Cicely Tyson. The other woman I'm going to say is Maya Angelou. You know, What can you not say about Maya Angelou? The way she wrote, the poignant words and poems and just her. There's certain people that talk, and when they talk, you just want to hear what they have to say. Like, you might be switching through the channel, you see that person on TV, and you stop for that moment just to see what they're talking about. She had that type of presence about her. She had that type of Maya's talking. You gotta stop. You gotta stop what you're doing. You gotta listen to what she has to say. That was her. And when you got that kind, Oprah has that type of way about her too. When you see those type of women talking, you definitely want to definitely listen to what they have to say. And I felt the same way about Cecily Tyson as when I was growing up. So those would be my three right there. What do they all have in common? What do they all have in common, like?
They're black women.
There you go. There you go. I was going to say, please don't get that
Yeah.
wrong. We've never really given black women all the credit that they deserve. And in a question like this, it's easy to throw out some white women and say, these people. I mean, there are some great white women. I mean, through most of my young adult life, one of the people that I used to love and used to make sure I watched every time they were on TV because they just had you in stitches, Carol Burnett. Carol Burnett's show was funny. And I tell you, I was a big Joan Rivers fan too, because she
Oh,
was, yeah, Joan
really?
Rivers. Yeah. So I thought she was funny. I thought Joan Rivers was funny, especially when she had her show. But Carol Burnett really helped to shape a lot of us coming up during that particular time. And even in the reruns, because there's a lot of young people that watch her, because the show was funny. So, but, when it comes to most inspirational, black women don't take a back seat to anybody. Yeah, so guys, when you hear this question and you listen to this show, think about those women that might be your inspirational women. It is National Women's Month. And so, I'd like to hear what you guys would have to say in answering that question. Okay. All right. There we have it. That's our show for tonight. Leonard actually made it through the show.
Barely.
He's probably after we hang up, then he's gonna go out and have a good time and cut up with everybody and be talking normal, So if y'all see him in the street and he's talking normal, y'all know he was just trying to, play everybody. So okay. So anything you wanna add in your half voice right now, man? Okay. All right. You'll tell everybody in person when you see him later on.
Right.
Okay, but thank you for making it through the show, and we were able to get through, people. So thank you for tuning in, and we will talk to you guys soon. Okay, have a good night.
Join us next week for another edition of News and Trends with your host, Dave and Lynn.